First Peter chapter 5, reading verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. This is God's word. Well, as you can tell, I'm not Claude McRoberts. If you're visiting with us, our senior pastor is dealing with some health issues, and he called me yesterday and said he just didn't feel like he could make it here. He's doing better. He's on the road to recovery, but he just felt like it would be a mistake and it would be a setback for him if he came and tried to preach this morning. So he called me about 12 o'clock yesterday. Love to get those calls. And got another one, got a call just like that the weekend before. And I'm telling you this story because I just tell you how that we got to this passage this morning. He called me last weekend, said, heads up, I may not be able to preach on Sunday. So this passage came to mind. I've preached it before about 10 years ago, but it just kind of, the Lord put it on my heart. But Claude was here to preach, and so we went on. About three or four times since that last Sunday, in fact, starting right after that last service, this verse has come up from you. You brought it up. It's just come up in my life. And I'm not a smart person, and I don't always make decisions this way, but I kind of got the message. I was like, well, Lord, maybe we need to preach this. Maybe I'm the one that has to hear this. Maybe it's you. I don't know. But we're going to go back to this passage. If you remember me preaching this, that's great. You can have the next 30 minutes off. You win. I don't remember preaching this now. We're going to look at this, and it's about anxiety. Anxiety. There's an old joke about a man who was a compulsive worrier for years, and it was just dominating his life, and he finally figured out a way to deal with it. He hired a professional worrier to worry for him, paid him $10,000 a week to do all of his worrying for him, so he didn't have to worry about it. It changed his life. He was so happy. He didn't have to worry about anything, and he was telling his friends about this. He said, my life's turned around. I've hired this professional worrier for $10,000 a week or $10,000 a month to worry for me. And his friend said, great, that's kind of steep, though. How are you going to pay him? He's like, that's his problem. So we've all got our strategies for dealing with anxiety, right? We've all got anxiety, all have worries, and we come up with all kinds of strategies to deal with it. But God has a plan, too. God has a plan, and it's not paying somebody to worry for you. That's not the strategy. That's not the way out. There is a way out. There is a path. When we're overcome with anxiety and worry and concerns, there is a path. And that one of the hallmarks of that bright, shining, clear path that God has laid out for us, the way, one of the hallmarks and tenets of that way is peace. Peace. The path is not a path of anxiety. The path is not a path of worry. That's not God's path. That's not the way that Jesus opened up for us. So when we find ourselves in that, we've wandered off the way. Well, he has a plan. He has a way, a procedure for getting back in that path, getting back in that way. Every one of us has anxieties, right? Every one of us has them. They could be big, they could be small, they could be real, they could be imagined. Some people worry, do I have any real friends, or what's going to happen in the future? Am I going to get married? If I get married, are we going to have children? What are they going to be like? Are they going to make my life worse or better? The Bible assumes that we all have anxiety and that it's a regular part of our life. If you want proof of that, just try to pay attention of how many times God says, do not worry, do not fear. And then how many times on the converse he says, I want you to have peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, my peace. Okay, so he wants us to have it, and we need it. Anxiety has become the number one mental health issue in America. It's estimated that one third of the North American adult population experiences anxiety in a debilitating way. The statistics go on, and they're mind boggling. Something's wrong. We're broken. We are a broken people. And we see this very vividly in this issue. 43% of Americans take mood altering prescriptions regularly. And I don't raise that, and I don't say that to wag my finger or anybody's, to shame anyone or anything like that. But that's just to show that, hey, we've got a problem. Something's wrong. And that's our plan. I want to say, I've said this before, I've been pretty open about this. I want you to know that I'm not shaming anyone about this, because I have this issue in a big way. I'm 50 years old. I've struggled with it for 50 years. That's just part of it for me. I have struggled with anxiety all my life. Everywhere I go, it's not far away. So when I wander off the path, this is one of the most frequent ways that I wander off the path. I find myself in the weeds of anxiety, and it's affected my life. It affects my relationships, my view of others, my view of myself, my view of the world. It's affected my decision making sometimes. And God's saying to me, Patrick, that is not the plan. That is not the plan. To be so overwhelmed with anxiety that's what's ruling your life and that's what's controlling you. So I say this from experience, that this is not God's plan for you or for me. This is not how He wants you to live or how He wants me to live. And He does have a plan. He does have a plan. The anxieties that you and I experience, I've come to see, are God's gentle tap on the shoulder, sometimes not gentle, but His tap on the shoulder to say, come back. Come back over here. Come back into My presence and walk with Me, because in My presence there is fullness of joy and there is peace evermore. So I want us to look at this passage, because it's been very helpful to me over the years. It's a very simple strategy for dealing with anxiety. Peter says, cast your anxieties on the Lord, because He cares for you. And whenever I read that passage, I think about this big building project that we did, finished in about 2009. And we were going through that. I was fascinated with this whole big project here. But I was particularly fascinated with the masons, with the brick masons, when they came. And if you've ever watched brick masons, you can see them work. It's mesmerizing to watch them. And I spent wasted a lot of time just sitting there watching those guys work. There's so many things we could say about that. But, oftentimes they'd be working way up on, off the ground on the scaffold and that kind of thing. And they've got a tiered labor system. And some people come and set up the scaffold, and some people mix the mortar and that kind of thing. But usually the guy that's laying the bricks, he's not doing all that hard labor. And they would prep the area for him. And so when he got up on the scaffold, there'd be these bricks up there. Well, how do they get the bricks up on the scaffold? It's not a real sophisticated thing, because I watched them do it. They threw them up there. There was a guy up on the scaffold, and he just stood there, and a guy on the ground, and they would take two at a time, and they'd throw them up there. And they had timed it perfectly. They would come up, and they would just sort of rest right in front of him, and he would just grab them and set them down. And when he turned around, there'd be another couple of bricks right there, and he'd set those down. And turn around, another couple of bricks right there. And they were casting these bricks up to the guy up on the scaffold. And when I read this verse, this is the picture that comes to mind. God says, cast your anxieties to the Lord, because He cares for you. So I wanted you to have that picture in your mind. And we're going to look at the three elements of that process. The bricks, the toss, and the one at the top. The bricks, the toss, and the one at the top. And as we do this, I want you to be thinking perhaps about something in your life where you need an anxiety that you need to toss to the Lord. So let's look at these. What about the bricks? He says, well, the bricks, what we're casting is our anxiety. What's our anxiety? It's all the things that we worry about, the future, what's going to happen to me, the material things. Will I get what I need? Okay, all of these things that we worry about, they take up our life and they dominate our mind. But the common thread that runs through a lot of these is uncertainty. So you might say that anxiety for a lot of us is the activity of being preoccupied with uncertainties, variables, and uncontrollables in my life, and focusing on these unknowns to the point that they dominate our thoughts, our actions, and our feelings. They become the lens through which we view reality and interpret events. That's what anxiety is, and debilitating anxiety. And this is a problem for us, not simply because God doesn't want us to live this way, because it affects our lives. Let me give you three ways it affects our lives. Number one, chronic anxiety or dominating anxiety and worry hinders you from focusing on your responsibility and my responsibility. Jesus said, why worry about tomorrow? Every day has enough trouble of its own. So if you're thinking about something that's not right in front of you, that's your responsibility. That's where we're supposed to be working. We have to deal with what's here. But our anxiety takes us to another place. It takes us to a different place in time. It takes us to another set of circumstances. And that's where our mind is. That's where our heart is. So we're not even giving our full attention to where we are. And so we miss the responsibilities that are in front of us. We can't be present where we are. What we're worried about, we are where we're what we're worried about. That's where we are. That's where our heart is. That's where our attention is. So worry and concern does nothing but distract us from what's in front of us right now. And that's a problem. Another way it affects us is that it hurts us. The words worry and anxiety in the Greek literally mean to divide, destroy, and to tear apart. And if you have been gripped by a really serious anxiety, maybe a panic attack or something like that, you understand it will rip you apart. It is debilitating. It is difficult. This English word worry, what we use, worry, comes from the word to strangle or to choke. Okay, so we even have a saying about this. We say, he worried me to death, right? So it comes to this, you know, he aggravated or troubled me. So worry is destructive. It tears apart. It has a destructive effect in our lives. It tears us apart. Another way it affects us is that it warns us of a deeper problem of idolatry. Worry tells us that there's something else going on. That maybe there's something deeper in my life. It's actually not even the thing that may seem like that's bothering me, that's the idol. But it's symptomatic of something deeper, a departure that's deeper in our hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Okay? So if we're worried about something, if something has our heart, then it's a treasure to us. We had a golden retriever one time named Rebel, and we would give him bones, but we learned we could only give him a bone if he came inside the house, because if he got on the outside, he would immediately bury it and immediately forget where he put it. So he would take it out in the yard, and he'd find some bush, and he'd dig real hard, and he'd bury that bone. He'd come in worn out, you know, panting, dirty, and he'd lie down. And you could watch him. He could last about 30 seconds, and then it would occur to him, where did I put that bone? Somebody's going to get that bone. And he would go off, and he would look around, and he'd find it, and now he's got to hide it somewhere else. So he'd take that, and he'd take it somewhere to some other place. And he worked, he buried it there. And he was exhausted. He spent his whole day just burying and uncovering and burying and uncovering this bone, because he was obsessing over this bone. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't have any peace. So one thing that worry tells us is that it's an indicator of some deeper issue. And just as varied as the anxieties in our life are the ways we deal with them. Some people mumble and grumble and think that's going to do it. Some people try to escape and deny it. Some people try to think it away, internalize it. Some people try to control all of the eventualities and everything that's causing anxiety. Well, if I can get control over that and have enough power, maybe money will give me enough power to dominate this. That's not God's plan. His plan is to take the bricks and to toss them. So let's look at the toss. Peter says here we're to cast our anxieties to him. Cast our troubles to him. Literally, to throw them to the Lord. We throw them to the Lord. Let me give you some ways that we can just kind of work through this and get to that point. Let me give you five things. When we have worry, the first thing that we can do is try to clarify, okay, what is it I'm trying to do? Clarify your purpose. What's the goal? And that's not as easy as it sounds. Our natural tendency is try to use God and use the Bible and use prayer and use all of this Christian terminology as ways to just feel better. But if that's what we're going to do, if that's really what our purpose is, we're going to miss the boat. Because, again, remember that anxiety is symptomatic of something deeper. Anxiety is a sign that we've wandered off the path. And the real purpose is not to just deal with the anxiety and stay off the path. The real purpose is to come back into the way, to fix what's causing it. That's the real purpose. So clarify your purpose. Clarify that, Lord, okay, this is a reminder to me. This anxiety is showing me that there's something going on here and we need to get to the bottom of it, you and I. The second thing we can do is distinguish between the bricks that we need to give to the Lord and the responsibilities that we need to carry and we need to take. They're different. Now, we don't throw everything to the Lord. We don't say, well, Lord, here, I've got this issue. You take everything, and I'm just going to see what happens. Because you're sovereign, right? No, we still have responsibilities. We still have things to do. We still need to, God is still working in us, and He calls us to a certain way. He calls us to step out. He calls us to do certain things. But the bricks, the things that are His responsibility, the things that belong to Him, those are what we give to Him. So we need to distinguish between what's our responsibility, what is He telling me to do, and what is He calling to me to give to Him. So you may be concerned about a particular situation. Maybe it's a situation at school, or concerned that your business is down, or something else about business. So we have responsibilities in that. But the big bricks of, Lord, are you going to provide for me? Do you have everything that I need? What's my future going to be like? Those are bricks. Those are not responsibilities that He's given to us. We give those cares and concerns to Him. The third thing we can do is commit to our responsibilities. Figure out, okay, well, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And I'm going to do that. I'm going to give myself 100% to this portion of what you've called me to do. And then the fourth thing we can do is confess and identify any brokenness that needs to be given to God. Any brokenness in this situation. I say, Lord, this anxiety is revealing something deep in me. It's revealing a crack within me, a brokenness that needs to be mended. And Lord, that's where I want to begin. That's what I want to begin to give to you. It's not even so much the situation, but the anxiety itself, the brokenness itself, I give to you. We confess worrying about these bricks to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I confess that I need help here. I confess that I'm obsessed with anxiety, and I don't want these things that belong to you. So I want to give them to you. And we confess that. We invite the Lord in to come in and search us and show those things to us so that we can give those things to Him. Remember what David says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my" what? "Anxious thoughts." Try my anxious thoughts and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and you lead me in the way everlasting. So we trust the Lord. We just come to him and say, Lord, you show me where my anxiety is. I'm here. Reveal it to us. Every one of us has a built-in psychologist within us. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he will come in and he'll begin to search. He'll begin to look. And he'll say, I see this here. And you say, oh, yeah, I see that too. I want to give that to you, to the Lord. Lord, I offer it up to you. I release it into your hands. And we give them to the Lord. That's the fifth thing. We give them wholeheartedly, 100% to the Lord. God wants these anxieties. This was not the Apostle Peter saying this. The Lord is saying this through the Apostle Peter to you and me. Cast your anxieties on me. He's saying, give them to me. That's why I came. I came to take all of these anxieties. We do that, by the way, through prayer. Prayer is when we sit down and we say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. This is what Paul says in Philippians. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, how? By prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we hand these over in prayer. We say, Lord, I give these to you, and I release them. I throw them up to you. And the last thing we need to see here. So we have the bricks. We have the toss. Okay, ways to toss it. But I want to end by just calling your attention actually to what he says in verse 6 here about the hands of the one who is at the top. Look at what he says in verse 6. He says in verse 7, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But notice how he starts this. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under what? The mighty hands of God. Who is there to catch them? It's God's mighty hands. God's mighty hands. Consider what hands are catching your bricks. Consider what hands are holding your anxieties. You know, this is an anthropomorphism. It's God speaking to us in ways that we understand. He doesn't literally have hands. He's a spirit. But he's saying to us, if God had hands, what would they be like? They would be mighty hands. Not like your hands and my hands. Isaiah 40 gives us some descriptions of what his hands are like. It says in verse 12 of Isaiah 40 that God's hands measure the waters of the world in the hollow of his hand. You think that's big enough to carry your anxieties? My anxieties? Verse 12 also says, he has marked the heavens with the width of his hand. So when God measures the sky and the universe, the width of the heavens, the solar system, the galaxies, he says, he does it like this with his hand. Like that. How big is the universe, God? Oh, about that big. That's what he's saying. He uses his hand as a unit of measurement for the galaxies. For the universe. Verse 15 says that the hands of God can take up the islands of the world in his hands like fine dust. Fine dust. So if you have just a few grains of sand in the palm of your hand, those are the islands of the world, the continents, Africa, Europe, Asia, all the islands of the world, these land masses of the world, they're just little specks of dust. And verse 22 says, he stretches the heavens like a curtain. So when you stand up in your bedroom and you pull back the curtains, that's how God treats the heavens. These are the mighty hands of God. And Peter is saying, cast your anxieties to him. They're mighty hands. They're strong hands. He is able. He's willing. He cares for you. This word here in the Greek is splengitzomai. It means his stomach aches for you. When he sees you in anxiety, he cares. He doesn't want that. And he says, give it to me. Release it to me. I want to end by specifically saying this. Mention three things that we need to specifically yield to God. And I'm so glad, you know, God's promise, we sang, you know, lift high the cross and the power of the cross this morning. Because what we're specifically yielding to is Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. It's his work on the cross that did this. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. You know, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I woke, I rose, went forth, and followed thee, right? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's where we're casting. We're casting him into those hands. Christ came to redeem us, every part of us, and to lift these anxieties so that we don't have to live under the weight of them anymore. He didn't come just to deal with the guilt. He lifted the guilt. He washed us clean so that we can step into a new life. And that new life is characterized in one of the main ways by peace. So he stands there saying, yield it to me. Give to me all that is burdening you, all that's weighing you down, all that is not of me. Okay, all that is not of Christ. You yield it to me. All the sin, all the guilt, all the shame, all the death, all the grief, and all the anxieties. You give those to me. And we need him to take these anxieties from our hearts. We can't just decide, well, I'm not going to be anxious anymore. It doesn't work that way. We need him to take it. We need to give it to him, and we need to see him lift those things. We need to experience him lifting this. And I want to mention there are three in closing sources of anxiety in particular I want to mention. Number one, we need to yield to him our brokenness. I want to come back to that. All that's broken, all that needs mending, all that needs putting back together. One of the deepest causes of anxiety is our feverish, desperate efforts to fix ourselves apart from God. We know we need fixing. And so we're just like beavers. We're like, oh, I need to get all this fixed. I know God, I know Jesus loves me. I know he died for my sins, but I need to go over here and work, 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 work. And I'm doing all this work apart from him. I'm working on my brokenness apart from him, without him, separate from him. He says, that's foolishness. And so much of our anxiety is born from this subtle, fundamental, and maybe in our subconscious, we don't even realize we're doing it. We're trying to work on our brokenness apart from him. And that's leading to so much anxiety in our life. And so he says, well, give it to me. So we yield to him our brokenness. We yield to him all the unknowns. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that have been revealed are given to us and to our children that we may do them. So there are some things that we don't know, some things that are not our responsibilities. They belong to the Lord. Let God be God. Let him have the future. Let him have the big things. Let him worry about that. Let him worry about the United States of America. Let him worry about the wars of the world. Yield those things to him. And the third thing I would say, and this is so important, yield to him not only your brokenness and all the unknowns, but yield to him, give to him your presence. I know that may sound a little strange, so let me explain what I mean. There is a line, I think, that many Christians never step over. They're Christians, but they never step over this line. And it's a line between living with God and living without him. Living without God and living with him. It's a difference in not abiding in him and abiding in him. Now, we're still Christians, but they're hurting. They're burdened. Because they've never taken that step of living with him. God saved you, not just so you can fly away and be with him in heaven. He saved you so that he could be with you and that you could be with him. And so many of us just fail to step over that line. We say, okay, now, Lord, I'm cleansed. But, okay, now, and he says, then come here. Come to me. Live with me. It's a line between living under the law and walking in the Spirit. It's a line between listening to many voices or listening to the voice of God. It's a line between living alone or living with him. It's a line between trying to do it myself and doing it with Him in collaboration with Him. And we need to step over that line. We need to give Him our attention and our presence. He's saying every day, I want you to live with me. I want you to come here close and walk with me and talk with me. And when we fail to cross that line, I think that we lose so much. And I think there's so many people say, I'm riddled with anxiety and I'm not even sure what it is. This is it. This is it. You were not made, and I was not made, to live alone. We're not made to live independently. We can only understand ourselves and only be at peace with ourselves in relationship to Him. We need a fixed point outside of ourselves. We were never meant to be autonomous beings that live out there. And if that's true, then we need to come to Him. We need, and if we're not doing that, then it's no wonder we're anxious. It's no wonder we're worried, because there's this fundamental disconnect. We're missing something at the very core of who we are. So I want to challenge you this week to spend some time alone and quiet with the Lord. And do your prayer and your Bible reading. But in addition to that, just spend a few minutes, maybe five. It'll seem like an eternity. And just be quiet with Him. Just come into His presence. And the temptation is going to be, if you're like me, all the monkeys in your head are going to start chattering. And Jesus says, stay there. Stay right there. Stay with me. Hold on to that. Say, no, Lord. And we hide that into our hearts. He says, I want you to take that with you throughout the day. Listen to my voice. Hear me say that I love you, that you're my child, that you're okay, that you're righteous in Christ. Hold on to that and take it with you. The very center verse of the Bible, there are 31,103 verses in the Bible. And so there are 15,551 verses on one side and 15,551 on the other one. You know what the one in the middle is? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Jesus says, stay there. Stay in his presence. C.S. Lewis said it this way. The real problem in the Christian life comes when people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and all your hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, God's voice, in taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, standing back from all the natural fussings and frettings of the world, coming in out of the wind. Can you do that? It's a challenge. I'm with you. He says, cast your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We lift up Claude to you now and pray your blessings upon him and your healing upon him. We thank you for this time to be together in one service during the morning during these summer months. And we offer the fall to you as we enter into this new season of ministry and life together, and pray you would go with us. And all the cares, Father, we ask that you would teach us what it means to walk in the way of peace. We ask for that peace. We want to learn what it means to cast our anxieties on you because you care for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.